Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
David Cruz for Brian Lehrer on WNYC and WNYC.org. As you've been hearing in the news, Governor Christie has moved to bring the Camden school system under state control, which could make it the fourth district in New Jersey to be taken over by the state. Let's talk now about another New Jersey school district that faced a similar state takeover a quarter of a century ago. That is Union City. Education policy professor and journalist David Kirp has a new book profiling the remarkable turnaround of Union City's public schools from the brink of takeover to a graduation rate of 89.5%. That is 10 points higher than the national average. The book is called Improbable Scholars: The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. David Kirp, welcome to WNYC.
It's great to be here.
So do you have a reaction to the news about Camden this week? Are there parallels between what's happening in Camden now and where Union City was 25 years ago?
Well, Union City 25 years ago was the second worst school district in the state. Camden has been at the bottom for a long time. Yeah. But the state was 1 year away from taking it over. And they gave them a year reprieve and said, if you don't bring up the test scores of these kids, don't give them a decent education, we're going to step in. And they really rose to the challenge.
Why did you choose Union City? I'm assuming there are other schools around the country that are doing well or have had similar renaissances.
Well, there are a lot of books about great schools and great teachers, but there really is nothing out there about great school districts. And Union City is remarkable, even among districts across the country that have narrowed the achievement gap and improved achievement. It's a very special place. It's a very special culture. It's a very special environment. And I think they had a tougher road to hoe than any place else that I know about, because it is a very poor, very crowded Latino community. It's got an unemployment rate 50% higher than the national average. You've got a lot of folks living 8, 10, 12 people in an apartment. You have maybe 30% undocumented folks who are living in fear that they're going to get deported. It's a very unlikely poster child for urban education reform.
Yeah, I mean, you make a great point because, you know, a lot of educators talk about the environment that kids have to deal with, and that is a very challenging environment still in Union City today. So as you write, 25 years ago, Union City was on the brink of state takeover. What are the first things they started to do in order to turn things around?
Well, they started to implement step by step some basic game changers that any educator with a pulse knows about. So they have a Latino population, so they've got to figure out a way to make them comfortable both in their own language, to make them fluent as speakers, readers, writers in Spanish, because that's the foundation, and then gradually moving to English. And they really had failed those kids in the past. And, you know, that's something that the system learned how to do. It also realized that these kids came to school, they really didn't live in a word-rich environment. So they're soaked with language from the moment they get in there. They're reading lots of great literature. They're doing phonics to get the P as in pepper, P as in pimiento sorted out. They're writing every day. And then they realized that the teachers needed help and support. So they brought in mentors from other teachers who would help out. They brought in outside folks to be coaches. They encouraged teacher collaboration, set aside time to do that. And again, slowly, slowly, over the years, those test scores improved, the graduation rate improved. I could have called the book Tortoise Beats Hare because it really is a story of slow, steady progress, hard work, doing stuff that's just basic and important and that people know about and that works.
Let's see if we can get some calls in here. The number here is 212-433-WNYC. Maybe some folks in Union City, some students, parents who are part of the Union City school system that are happy with the system, or some folks in other parts of the state, maybe in Camden, who are not so happy with their school systems. Give us a call. The number is 212-433-WNYC. That's 212-433-9692. So there's a list of 8 key ingredients that you cite for the successful system. I'll briefly summarize them, but listeners, you can read the full list on our website at WNYC.org. Just click on the Brian Lehrer Show. The 8 ingredients: preschool, language-rich classrooms, immigrants becoming fluid in their native language. You touched on that before English. Curriculum is consistently challenging. Close the analysis of test scores. hands-on help for both teachers and students. You touched on that. Schools reaching out to parents and high expectations across the board.
Yeah, I mean, these are bromides. I mean, everybody,
kind of no-brainers,
everybody
right?
knows these. But the trick is, let's just take, you know, high-quality preschool. You
yeah.
can say the words, but actually making it happen, actually building a system of excellence out of 35 schools, maybe a third of the kids in the public schools. So you've got for-profit schools, not-for-profit schools, the church-run schools, the city schools. A lot of them were 10 years ago babysitters. And so after the big court decision in New Jersey, the Abbott case, which provided funding for preschool, that system was able to convert those babysitting centers into great preschools. I mean, those preschools pass my golden rule test. I would be happy to send my kids there.
Is there something to be said for the fact that Union City's school system is, what, 90% Latino? And that shared cultural experience and so on?
Well, after I wrote the book about Union City and spent a year there and loved every minute of it, I knew that people would ask me a whole bunch of questions about, oh, Union City is special because it's small, it's got a lot of money, it's all Latino. So I went looking around the country to find places that had done well by their kids, by their poor and minority kids. And so I was looking at big districts, small districts, districts with strong unions, no unions, elected school boards, appointed school boards, every kind of district that I could find. And I mapped backwards to say, what do they have in common? What are they doing? And I'll tell you what they're not doing. They're not doing charter schools. They're not beating up on teachers. They're not closing lots of schools. They're not leading by intimidation. They're enthusiasm places. They're high expectation places. They're rich, warm culture places. They generate trust. And we know from everything we know about urban education that trust between teachers and kids, kids and teachers and administrators, community and the education system. And by the way, in Union City, they poll the community, and 75% of the people say the schools are doing a great job. Those are the key elements to this story. And Union City is a very wonderfully rich tale to tell, but it really is not the only place in the country that's doing this. And the importance of that is any school district can set its mind to making this happen. It's hard, slow, constant work, but it's doable. It doesn't take a genius. It doesn't take Superman to make it happen.
Is the Board of Ed appointed or elected there?
It's an appointed board.
It's an appointed board. Does that work one way or the other?
Well, again, I was looking at appointed boards and elected boards. I'll say in Union City, one thing that's very important there is the stability of leadership. You know, in many urban school districts, you get a school board that appoints somebody who says, I'm a miracle worker. That superintendent doesn't turn things around in a couple of years. Insurgents run. They get rid of that superintendent. They bring in a new miracle right. worker. The average urban district turns over a superintendent every 3 years. You can't do anything in 3 years. They've had two superintendents there since 1989, and the current superintendent isn't going anyplace. That means it's possible to stay the course.
Right.
And that's been key.
And how have the budgets gone? Have you seen an increase in the budget funding for the Board of Ed there over the last 25 years?
Union City funds its schools handsomely. Not as handsomely, I want to say, as New York City does. But money isn't everything. I mean, Camden had more money to spend than Union City,
yeah.
and it's never been able to get out of the mire. There are places across the country that do very well on half as much money as Union City has, but the difference is they have to triage. They can't do full-day preschool. They can't do preschool for everybody. They can't do advanced placement. They can't give the teachers the kind of support they need. So you can do it, but you do it a whole lot better by spending the money, investing up front. And those kids, 90% graduation rate, that's an important fact. And here's another fact. This year, in a class of 600 and some students, two of the top 10 students are kids who came to this country 4 years ago speaking no English. That's astonishing. And that tells you the commitment that this school district has to all the kids, including those who arrive 4 years earlier not knowing anything about anything. They've
yeah.
come with almost no education.
Yeah. You served on Barack Obama's 2008 advisory committee. I'm assuming you were a fan of this from the State of the Union.
Tonight, I propose working with states to make high-quality preschool available to every single child in America.
Was that part of the Obama education plan going in? And why did it take until the second term before you proposed that?
And I was the guy on the transition team who was working on the preschool plan. And I'll tell you, it's really gratifying to see that all the elements that we were proposing in 2008 are about to happen if Congress ever gets over its entire dysfunction. I'm not holding my breath for that. Preschool is one of those things that Obama has – he's known about and cared about preschool and been aware of its effects since he was an Illinois legislator. And, you know, I just hope that indeed that vision becomes reality.
So I wouldn't necessarily describe your book as anti-charter, but you touched on this a little bit. I certainly think you try to make the case that this kind of turnaround can happen within the existing public school system. Is that one of the main lessons here?
There's 60 million kids in America. There's no way that great charter schools, and there are great charter schools like the KIPP schools, there's no way they can reach even a tiny fraction of those kids. Every one of the countries that the critics of public schools admire because they're doing so well, every one of them provides its education through a public education system. We've got to rebuild that system. And it's not a killing thing to do. It's not an impossible thing to do. It doesn't take geniuses to do it.
Are there any charter schools in Union City?
There are no charter schools in Union City.
And that's probably
– And indeed, the parochial schools there, a couple of them have closed down because the kids were migrating to the public schools.
Hmm. Do you have any reaction to those who say that there just isn't conclusive evidence that preschool has a big effect?
I do. They're wrong. I mean, there's so much data, including there's new data from New Jersey just released this week. They have looked at the effects of the Abbott decision on the kids who went to preschool through grade five. They're showing huge advances in reading and math. But here is where the critics do have a point. You can't do it on the cheap. It's not like you give folks a little preschool and kids get a little better. It doesn't work that way. It's got to be high quality. You've got to have trained teachers. You've got to have a real curriculum that's based on evidence. You've got to have small classes. You've got to have people who understand what kids are about. If you go to a great preschool class, you're going to fall in love. It is the best teaching in the world.
One of the cities in which this debate is playing out is in Newark. Last week, WNYC hosted a community forum about Newark schools. I want to play a one-minute exchange here between Newark Mayor Cory Booker and Brian Lehr on the issues of charter school choice. Let's take a listen.
Our kids, which are all of our children, go to magnet schools. They go to district schools. They go to unique type schools like Harriet Tubman here in Newark. They go to charter schools. They even go to schools like St. Benedict's or Chad School, which we used to have in Newark, and other great models. They're all our children. And so that's really what the goal is in Newark right now, is to create a system of high-performing schools. Let's not talk about necessarily focus on the type of school, but really on student outcomes. And so that every parent in our city has a choice of high-performing schools to send their kids to.
But is that to say that you need a diversity of systems? You need charter schools and district schools in order to reach every kid? Just to push back on what some, you know, critics say, why, if you're going to create every school as an excellent school, why do you need a separate charter system?
Again, so I'm sorry, I just don't believe one school model fits all. I just don't. And I think that you have a diversity of schools because you have a diversity of kids. And I do believe that parents should be able to choose the type of school that best serves their kids.
So what did you think of that exchange?
Well, I have great respect for the mayor, but I'm with Brian on that pretty plainly. And indeed, what Union City has done and what effective school districts have done is to take what the mayor called a system of schools and create a school system. And why is it important that there be a system? Well, for one thing, of course you differentiate. I mean, Union City is one-on-one. They figure out what kids need. They're not filling seats. They're responding to needs. But kids in poor districts, poor communities like Newark, they're moving around all the time. So you move from one school that's doing really interesting things to another school that's doing totally different things, they're lost. Just, you know, look at the outcomes in Newark and compare them to the outcomes in Union City. You know, the population in Newark has got to be wealthier than the population in Union City. They've got resources, all sorts of resources. You know, those
and $100 million from Facebook.
And $100 million, you know, it's an annual
budget of close to $1 billion.
Right. And, you know, if you bring in, as that city did, principals who are supposed to be great heroes from the outside, and they come and they try to do something and it doesn't work and they leave, Union City, everybody in Union City, almost everybody is homegrown. These are local guys. Yeah. They went to local colleges. They grew up around there. And that's important because they think of these as our kids. And this isn't just a Union City story. Across America, that's how kids get educated.
And you also get buy-in, right, from parents and everybody else.
Oh, I mean, Union City, that's a very key part of the story, and I'm glad you brought it up. When I was sitting in one of those schools, this poor elementary school, parents' night, the first month of the year, bucketing rain. I thought, nobody's going to show up.
Yeah.
80-90% of the kids had parents there, and it wasn't by accident. They've got community liaisons who know everybody in that community. And if a parent says, I can't afford a winter coat, I'm having trouble with immigration status, I'm having trouble getting a job, they help with that. And so there's trust. There is trust between that community and those schools.
And the mayor there is very hands-on.
Oh, my goodness.
When it comes to that sort of thing.
Brian Stack, mayor, state senator. I describe him in the book as Mother Teresa meets Mayor Daley, 24/7 guy. And, you know, he's brought home the bacon, and he's earned bragging rights for that school district. It's a phenomenal place. And now I'm glad to see, I wrote a piece about this in the New York Times last month, which went viral. You've got districts all over the region wanting to come to Union City. I'm excited about that because it says that other people out there are saying, we want to do the work. We want to do it better than we're doing it now. And I believe that's what American educators are about.
All right. Ugo is in Rutherford, New Jersey. Ugo, welcome to the program.
Hi. I feel that the high graduation rate doesn't truly prove the success of the Union City school system because I feel that the teaching material is still below par compared to other school systems. And the reason I say this is because I grew up in Union City. I was educated by Union City, and I always had good grades. I was always successful there. And when I finally went to college, I went away to UNC, and I felt I was so dumb compared to what I was told at Union City. And I thought that the reason was because I wasn't prepared to go to that four-year school. So, and I think that that has to do a lot with maybe the high population, because you can't really take your time to teach the material needed if there's so many kids in every school.
Hmm. Hugo, I'm wondering, when did you graduate from the high school?
I graduated in 2004.
Well, you know, what's really interesting is the high school was the last part of that system to be reformed. If you went now, and I don't know which of the two high schools you went to, but if you went now to the new Union City High School, and an amazing principal and dedicated teachers and fabulous classes, you would see amazing stuff going on. It's a very different place because when you went there, absolutely. It was a pretty mediocre high school system, and I really feel for you that you felt underprepared. Now, Union City isn't done. I mean, I think the point you make that a lot of its graduates graduate underprepared for university is still there, but they know that. That is now what they're working on. They got the graduation rate up, and that is something to cheer about, but it's not the end of the story, and they know that's not the end of the story.
All right, Ugo, thanks for your call. David, I think one of the concerns we hear over and over from parents is that it's not worth potentially sacrificing a generation of kids by trying something new in the public schools. I mean, you talked about the turtle versus the hare. This is one of the reasons sending your kid to a charter or private school is so attractive to some parents. I mean, a parent might say, I believe in public education, but I don't want my kid to be the one who languishes while the school system turns itself around. What do you say to that argument?
Well, I feel for those parents. One of the things I'd say to them is if you look at the data overall on charter schools don't do any better or any worse than public schools overall. As I said, there are great charter schools. And if I'm a parent, I'm going to look for the best education in my child. But if I'm a citizen and a taxpayer and someone who cares about my country, I'm also going to spend a lot of energy trying to make sure those public schools get better.
Yeah, let's get one more call in here. Josh in Washington Heights. Josh, welcome to the program.
I have perhaps a dozen questions, so
first let's try one.
Ask how I can reach David Kirk.
How can he reach you?
I'm easy. Kirp@berkeley.edu.
I'm sorry, Kirk at?
Kirp at Berkeley.
It's Kirp, K-I-R-P, at berkeley.edu.
Berkeley as in the college?
Yes.
Berkeley as in the university,
yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I am a parent organizer in Washington Heights, which is across the river from Union City, a little north of it, in a predominantly Dominican district. And I'm very interested in hearing your story because some of the, or much of it, might be applicable here. But I am particularly skeptical in wanting to know such things as whether the increase over the last 25 years in performance that you've spoken about is related not only to increasing school budget, but perhaps to a different population? Has Union City been gentrified as the whole Jersey Hudson Coast has been in the last 25 years, and therefore comparing the results with present-day students is not applicable to those 25 years ago?
All right, Josh, thanks for your call. David?
It's a great question. And by the way, I'll be at Teachers College tomorrow at 4 o'clock, not very far from where you are. Come and we can carry on the conversation. But in fact, Union City has changed, but it's now a poorer community than it was.
They've kind of gone in the opposite 25 direction.
25 years ago, it was an educated Cuban immigrant population. Those guys have moved on. What you now have is dirt poor families. The kind of folks who are living in Washington Heights are living there, from the Dominican Republic, from Puerto Rico, from Nicaragua, from Ecuador. Exactly. It's really the same kind of place. And I think Washington Heights has got the same kind of potential.
All right. David Kirp is professor at Goldman School of Public Policy at UC Berkeley. He's a longtime education reporter and served on President Obama's transition team after the 2008 election. His latest book about the Union City school system is called Improbable Scholars: The Rebirth of a Great American School System and a Strategy for America's Schools. David, thanks so much for being with us.
David, thank you for having me.
David Cruz in for Brian Lehr. Remember, you can find a list of 8 keys to the Union City turnaround on our website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr. Up next, former New Jersey Governor Jim McGreevy and documentary filmmaker Alexandra Pelosi discuss their new film, Fall to Grace. More after the break.